What is up? Welcome back to the Rumor Mill. I'm Spencer.
And I'm Lexi.
And this is your Gen Z guide to pop culture. And as your tour guides, we will be taking you to a very scary, dark place. Hold your screams until the end.
You're not allowed to scream on this ride?
No. It is not the Denver airport, aka the gateway to hell. It's not the dark web. Do you know how to get into the dark web? I've never been on the dark web.
I've never tried, to be honest. Like, actually, that's not true. I think I was like, I Googled how to get onto the dark web one time when I was like, probably like 14. And then I was like, actually, I don't want a virus or to be sold into slavery. Mm. So I'm going to actually retract that and not go into the dark web.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's like
a fun place.
A fun, really exciting place full of sunshine
true
and rainbows.
True to life characters.
Yeah, true to life characters. But I know, I've never ventured onto the dark web in reality.
And
I'm
a little scared. Our FBI agents are probably watching, so we should cut that short. We don't know anything about the dark web.
Nothing.
What?
What is the dark web?
No.
It just the web with the lights off? Is it your screen in dark mode, in
probably.
Night mode?
Yeah. I think that's
exactly what it is. The dark web is my Safari when it's in dark mode.
Or like when you go like light mode or dark mode on your iPhone.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yep. Dark web. We're not even going to take you to the evil layer of cancel culture, which I don't know where that is, but I'm sure that it's rented out by the Illuminati every other Tuesday and Thursday. We will be taking you as your pop culture tour guides to the East Village in New York City, where fake heiress ex-con Anna Delvey's apartment building was just condemned by the city for being uninhabitable.
Damn. That's
quote,
pretty brutal.
I think the conditions were, quote, perilous to human life.
That's such a quote.
I think was the official statement. Was on the vacate notice of the building.
Wow.
It still blows my mind that you really don't know who this woman is.
No. Yeah, I don't. Every time you say her name, I'm like, I know we've talked about her. And I'm always like, but who is she?
Anna Delvey.
She does not pay rent in my brain. She is not there at all. Mm. But again, I guess
she's
nobody should be paying rent to her at all either.
The best way I can describe her to you is like the female version of the scammer guy that did Firefest.
Mm.
Billy McFarland. McFarland is his name. Should we go there?
I think should we go there?
Billy,
we have to spill a little tea.
When Billy announced that he was working on Firefest 2, I reached out because I was like, let's get you on the podcast, man.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Let's talk to you. Let's plug the show.
We're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, and this isn't like a diss because, well, I mean, he is a con man, but he's also like a serious figure in pop culture, like all the documentaries on Hulu and Netflix about Fyre Festival. And then we'll get back to Anna Delvey because she's had her own documentaries, which is why I call her the female version. I would still be super interested in having him on the show if I just ever have extra cash laying around, which maybe someday.
Oh, that's right. Maybe that's why we can interview him, because he wanted that much money, right?
For 15 minutes.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Or $1,500 for an hour.
I'm sorry, why are you that important?
And listen, I don't know if this is for like all public figures or celebrities, but like we don't pay the celebrity guests we have on our show. And I don't know if that's a norm in podcasting because it's more of like a transactional, like.
Yeah, you're getting exposure for being on the show. We're getting exposure for
having
you on.
It's like,
so it's like a mutual thing.
It's like a parasitic relationship here, you know.
It's a symbiotic, not parasitic.
Sorry, I should have known that. That's one of the things I learned.
This is why you're in law school, not
biochemistry. AP Environmental. I took AP Environmental in high school, though.
Hmm. Well, then you should have known better.
Thank you. Billy wanted a lot of money to come on the podcast.
Which I thought was so funny. I was like,
well, and truly,
huh?
Like, if Firefest 2 does happen, I would totally pay and just be like, let's just have
you on. But for the amount of money that he was charging for us to have him on for an hour, we could just buy a ticket, both of us, and
so, go. So, yeah, for an hour, it was $1,500. And for 15 minutes, it was $300. And I'm like, I probably wouldn't pay $1,500. Like, if I have an extra $300 laying around and he does announce Firefest 2, like, maybe I would have him on the podcast. Like, maybe I'd pay for it. And then I would send you a Venmo request for it.
Yeah, I'm not willing to pay that.
No.
If I have $150 lying around, I'm going to the dispensary. Like, let's be real.
Yeah, Lexi. Okay. But see, and that's not even like that big of a deal. I just, my one thing was that in the email, it just noted that like that money would be going to pay for his retribution, like to his victims or whatever, like paying back the people that he defrauded. And then it would also be going towards his new business venture that would be setting up Firefest 2 possibly. And I thought to myself, you know, if that gets, you know, taken down for fraud, are we going to be listed as investors for $300?
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, I don't need that attention.
We don't need that.
No. So, but you know what? If it happens, it happens.
He'd be fascinating to talk to. Would love to talk to him. Not for $1,500, though.
No. No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Anyways.
Anna Delvey.
Anna Delvey.
Definitely can't get her on the podcast.
Also, what does it mean to be a fake heiress? Like, what does that even mean?
Okay, so I don't know a crazy ton about her story. All I know is that they did this Inventing Anna documentary with one of the... what's her name? I don't remember her name. I think she was going to play Madonna in her biopic. And she's in Ozark on Netflix. And she played Anna. And Anna claimed... her real name is Anna Sorokin. She claims her name is Anna Delvey, and she's an heiress to, like, a German fortune. Like, she's from a really rich European family.
And she went on to all these different fancy parties. She got people to invest in her and give her all this money so she could do, like, fancy rich people shit. And then it was like, no, she's just pocketing it because she's actually broke.
I believe so, allegedly. She did spend time in jail for this. So, like, she is a convicted con, right?
Mm-hmm.
She, like, frauded out, like, high society in New York in parties, in the art scene. And then she got caught because, like, she'd always, like, her famous quote in the show would always be, like, you know, the money's coming. The wire's good. Like, it always was coming, but it never came.
Yeah.
So she is now on house arrest. She got out of jail. Woo woo. And she is on house arrest in an apartment building in the East Village, where she has since thrown big parties and art exhibits. And she just launched her own podcast, The Anna Delvey Show. But the apartment building, part of it, has been condemned. So I'm going to pull up the headline.
This is a really, like, rough and funny, but also sad headline, I feel like. It's just sad because if people are genuinely living here, then it's like, what the hell?
Could you imagine, like, your upstairs neighbor being Anna Delvey, though, on house arrest?
Goals. So weird.
All right. I'm going to pull up the headline. We're going to read it. And I can't wait to get into this and see why it's condemned. Like, so many reasons of, like, is it a bug infestation? Maybe there's a hoarder that lives on one of the floors. You know, is it her?
Flooding.
I don't know. So let's get into it. So the page 6 headline reads, NYC condemns part of fake heiress Anna Delvey's East Village apartment. It's a long way from the standard hotel because during her time frauding people, she would use some of that money that she got to stay in really, really, really nice hotels. Mm. Like Fifth Avenue, First Avenue, like she was living large. So it says, Page 6 has learned that the New York City Department of Buildings has condemned part of fake heiress Anna Delvey's East Village apartment. Ex-con It Girl Delvey, a.k.a. Anna Sorokin, is on house arrest at the First Avenue walk-up, where she has thrown, quote, party of the century, contender bashes, and art exhibits since she was arrested by ICE for overstaying her visa after her release from prison. When she was making a living as a successful con artist, like I said, Delvey lived at the Standard Hotel line, among other chic hotels. But now we hear her pad has become so crappy that it's become unacceptable even by First Avenue standards.
Damn.
A Page 6 spy spotted a, quote, partial vacate notice on the downstairs doorway of her apartment building this week saying, quote, the Department of Buildings has determined that conditions within its premises are imminently perilous to life.
That's so wild.
Can you imagine? The sign adds, this premises has been vacated and re-entry is prohibited until such conditions have been eliminated to the satisfaction of the department. Violators of this orders are subject to arrest.
Damn.
Maybe a drug house?
I mean, but, like, I don't think that's actually what it is, because, like, people do drugs all the time. That doesn't mean it's imminently perilous to human life.
Unless it's like a meth lab.
Yeah, but that would be like one apartment.
Yeah. Oh, do you know about... oh, you seem to have knowledge of this, you know?
Could be two.
Could... oh,
I mean, it could be a whole bunch, but, like, even so, unless they've trashed the place.
Yeah. And your experience with meth labs.
Yeah, with my extensive experience with meth labs.
So the article
says... I've seen a few episodes of Breaking Bad. I know how it goes.
I've never seen that show.
I've seen, like, the first episode.
Oh.
So, anyway. Obviously, I'm really in the know.
Yeah. You really get it. while the notice at first makes it sound as if the woman on house arrest could be arrested for being in her house, a legal bind by any measure, sources close to Delvey tell us that it's actually only the garbage chute that's out of commission. Wait, really? They shut down the whole building for the garbage chute?
Well, if the garbage chute is down and there's just trash piled up everywhere.
Oh, like, where's the trash going?
Yeah.
Is it drawing, like, mice and bugs? Is it getting into the air system?
Yeah.
Sources add that the, quote, partial part of the vacate order just means that she and other residents can't use the chute until it has been fixed. A note from the notice from the landlord seen by Page Six says, quote, please be advised that the vacate order posted on the building is for the garbage shaft area. We will temporarily move the trash from that location until the area is fixed. Well, okay then.
So it sounds like it's not that bad, but yeah, like, what a strong quote to have. Yeah,
perilous to
over
life.
A garbage chute. Perilous well, to life.
And
is
what's
pretty
so freaking
strong.
Funny is after she's got out of jail because she can't leave her home in order to be seen by the paparazzi or do photo shoots, she has to do them from her window or balcony.
Oh my god!
And there's her little ankle bracelet.
That's so
what a funny. Life. That's aesthetic right there.
It's really something.
Really something.
Really something.
Now, can you identify with this? Is your if I were to go over to your apartment, would it be, quote, uninhabitable and perilous to life? Because I've never been to your
apartment.
No,
actually, my apartment's quite clean. I take good care of it.
Yeah. I clean up when I know you're coming over. Yeah. We're pretty clean, clean people, you know, except for the drug use. as I point to you.
I know. I'm in my Britney Spears era right now.
God,
but actually,
did they really put you on lithium?
They did. I have the pills in my backpack. I can show you right
can
now.
Can I see what lithium looks like?
It's actually not scary. Here's my pills. They're just little capsules. These are 300 milligram capsules. So I take... Oh.
Have you been taking the wrong dosage? Are you discovering
something? Apparently, I was supposed to take two. I've been taking one.
Well, have you been... I mean... Are you okay?
Yeah, I've been feeling fine. I didn't know I was supposed to take two of them, but I'll start that tonight.
Okay.
So
then.
There we go.
Well, Anna Delvey's apartment, though, was not the only perilous moment of the week because you had quite the perilous journey getting over today to record.
I did.
You really went through it today.
I had a nail in my tire.
Are you
gonna
be okay?
I had to go to the tire place and get it replaced. So, yeah. You know, it's a fun time.
Are you okay? Did you make
it? No, it was really emotionally harrowing.
Yeah. Just, you know, I can't even imagine.
I need to take a minute to just kind of sit with
it. She needs her lithium. Somebody bring the lithium.
Actually, my psychiatrist did offer me a rescue medication. It's what they call it when it's like a Xanax or something like that.
Oh,
like,
you
offer...
said yes. That would have been fun. We could have split a Xanax. We could have split one over a beverage.
That's how you die, Spencer.
I think that sounds like fun.
I've actually done that before.
And you're like... You're all like...
That's what I'm telling you, Spencer.
Oh. From experience. You don't want me to go down the same
road
that you've
been down. Actually, it
feels
really crazy,
down.
But yeah. We don't need to...
Do you want a beverage? Because last week you weren't drinking.
I'm okay.
God. Am I going to have to start drinking alone now? That hurts me to have to do that alone.
I'll get you a beverage.
I don't want a beverage, no.
Oh, well, good.
I guess we're going to go on dry June together.
Dry June.
Ridiculous.
All right.
But I'm happy that you're here and you're safe.
Thank you.
That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean that from my heart.
Let's add a little bit of spice to the podcast. And by that, I mean a little bit of...
No alcohol.
Ice Spice.
Okay. That's your spice.
We need to talk about the Ice Spice Matt Healy drama.
Yeah. Maddie. I think it's Maddie Healy.
I think it's Matt.
It's Maddie Healy. You know what? You always use Google, so it's my turn. Who is Matt Healy from the 1975?
Oh, it is Maddie.
Maddie
okay.
Healy.
Well, I was wrong.
Maddie Healy.
Anyways, so Ice Spice in an interview was like, oh, hey, like, I love the 1975. Like, Maddie Healy is so cool.
Controversy now.
And then Maddie Healy was like making fun of her like weight and making fun of her like.
Well, it all started actually. Let's back up. Get to the nail on the tire, as some would say.
The root of it.
The root of it. Ice Spice and Taylor Swift just did a collaboration, which was Ice Spice hopped on a remix of Taylor Swift's song Karma. And so people then connected her with Maddie Healy because Maddie Healy is allegedly dating Taylor Swift. Mm. So Taylor and Maddie are dating, right? Follow the strain here. Timeline. Yeah. Ice Spice hops on a remix of Taylor Swift's song. Then a resurfaced podcast clip of Maddie on a podcast. I don't even want to say dissing. More like bullying. Like making some really bad
dark,
comments.
Offensive jokes.
Yeah, really offensive comments about Ice Spice. And then after that, a video came out of Ice Spice doing an interview, like praising alternative music, like, hey,
praising
I like the 1975, the 1985. Who are they? We don't know. And people are like, wait a minute. Like, both of these videos have resurfaced and now you're a terrible person. And this podcast was from months ago. Like, nobody, I don't know if anybody listened to it. Like, it didn't go viral. And so now it's this whole big thing. Maddie has responded. It's a big scandal. So let's get into it. Let's watch the video clip first of Ice Spice praising the 1975 to set a tone.
Yeah.
All right, here's the clip. This was from an interview that she did with, looks like, indie mixtape.
Listen to alternative music. I feel like a lot of people wouldn't expect that. Yeah, shout out Coldplay, the 1975, obsessed with them. Listen to
Ice Spice. And then here's the podcast clip.
Nick doesn't know who it is.
She's like one of the Spice Girls.
Yes, that's
she's
right.
Like this rapper.
She's the rapper that has Spice Girls. Inuit Spice Girl. Just this chubby Chinese lady.
Yeah, I rap about music. Do they talk like that? Do anyone talk like that?
They don't talk with a Chinese accent.
They talk like a more Hawaiian style.
Yeah, more Hawaiian. Yeah. Welcome to Hawaii.
Like, yeah.
Locals, I actually didn't watch this whole video.
Gulp, coconut.
Yeah, that's what Ice Spice is like. Yeah.
She's a very attractive woman that really.
A very attractive woman.
Basically,
so you go from saying she's a chubby Chinese lady to saying she's...
Oh, they called her an Eskimo.
Yeah. Anyways,
Ice
that's
spicy.
Literally a slur.
Is it? Because weren't the Eskimos people in Antarctica? No, didn't we learn about them in, like, world history?
No, but
when did that become a slur?
It's been a slur. You're not supposed to call them that.
We've been new.
Wait. You're not supposed to say that word.
That sounded like Simlish. We've been new. No, like, I didn't know that. I didn't know
okay,
that.
Okay, well, you didn't know.
Okay,
so
educate
fine,
me. How is it? How is this a slur?
It's just like,
weren't they a people?
It's like when you, it's like the word gypsy is technically a slur too.
Okay, but like there were gypsies. Like, don't they kidnap children?
Oh my God.
No, weren't there real gypsies in Europe?
It's okay. So
gypsies, tramps and thieves. Isn't that like a,
wasn't that
a song from the 60s?
Literally. Okay. It doesn't, just because it was a song doesn't mean that it's appropriate. Okay, there were a lot of words that have been used for a long time that
what
are not
gypsy
appropriate
mean, then? What does Eskimo
it's
mean?
It's like,
weren't they
okay
people?
So it's terms for like
a culture.
No, yeah, like nomadic groups of people or people from like up north, like in like I don't remember exactly where they're from, like I think like Canada, Alaska kind of area, like the Arctic kind of.
Yeah, I thought that they were like a people, a culture, the Eskimos. Like,
it was used by racist non-native colonizers, right? And so,
oh, they were from, it was a Native American tribes.
Yeah, it's a term used to suppress the people of the North in the Arctic, like I said. And so, was used by non-native people to kind of put them down.
So, did anybody call themselves Eskimos? Because, like, I feel like Eskimo, like there's been cartoons, like toys, like. I'm just hearing.
I don't think that they've ever used it themselves. I don't know if that's true. I don't see anything about
it. Then what's
the
beef with gypsies?
Let me Google that too for you.
Thank you.
Okay, so the term gypsies refers to the ethnic group of people called the Roma or Romani. But again, it was used by other groups of people to kind of put them down. The word gyp means to swindle. So it's offensive to them because to be called a gypsy means to be calling them a swindler. Do you know what that means? A swindler? It's like a thief.
Yes, I'm not 12, Lexi.
Okay,
I know
so it means, it literally means like thief.
I saw the Nickelodeon movie, Swindlers, with Ariana Grande. I'm
so that's
not
why
dumb.
It's offensive. No. I knew it was offensive. I didn't know the reason why, but that's why.
Interesting. Well,
so we're not going to say it anymore. But yeah, you should not be calling people either of those
words.
Well,
I've never actually called anybody either of those words, but like I just thought that they were normal words for like peoples. Anyway, back to Ice Spice.
I just don't know how they managed to like piss off so many different people and cultures
all at the same time,
all within like a 30-second clip.
Hawaiian people, Chinese people, Black people, like
Alaskan natives, like all of it, like just everybody
was
getting
accents.
I know, like how like dumb and classless are you?
You should do that behind closed doors where nobody can hear you, okay? But you don't do it where you're being recorded.
My God. No, but like for real, like,
no, like
it's
that's
just
like,
so.
But to do it so like openly, like on a podcast, and you're a celebrity.
Yeah, you clearly don't like, care or have any sense of like the boundaries. Fact they said, "Oh, she's just this chubby Chinese lady."
Like
what?
That's like
I'm
middle
sorry,
school.
Hello?
Those are like middle school boys at a lunch table.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely, it is.
Well, do you want to hear
Taylor,
Maddie's
come
response?
Get your man?
Yeah, Taylor's boyfriend is causing trouble up in here. But of course, now all the articles and all of, like the Twitter stands are coming out of the woodwork. Like, don't blame Taylor. It has nothing to do with Taylor. Don't drag her into this. Like Rolling Stone writing articles of like. Taylor Swift wouldn't be dragged into this if she was a man. But because she's a woman, you know, she's the scapegoat. Like, it's just, we know him that he's Taylor Swift's boyfriend and he's the singer of a band. Like, she's going
to
be dragged into it,
period. But,
Taylor
Swift is supposed to be this, like, super woke, like, super feminist, super strong, like, pro women, pro people of color person.
And
if your boyfriend is acting like this, that doesn't look good for you.
So let me, I'm going to pull up a video of Maddie responding to the controversy at a concert. Now, this podcast clip was from a couple months ago, so I don't know when this concert was. I don't know if it was recently or if it was a couple months ago, and now it's just picking up steam because now everybody knows about it. But here's what he had to say. And then he also just did a recent interview responding to it because it's picked up steam. But here's what he said in a concert I would think not too long ago.
Sorry about shit that I've said. I've never meant to hurt anybody. Sorry if I've offended you and like...
I like the soft piano music.
I'm sorry. I wasn't... It's not because I'm annoyed that me joking got misconstrued. It's because I don't want Ice Spice to think that
it got misconstrued.
Ice Spice. I'm so sorry. But I don't want to be... I don't want anything I get misconstrued to be mean. Like, I'm not... I hate... I don't mind being like a bit of a joker, and there's so many people here that are like, what the fuck is this part of the show? Does he do this all the time? I know that you know that I do.
The piano in the background is like, killing me!
It's okay for me to be like a monster or whatever, but I don't want to be perceived as like kind of mean-hearted, because honestly, I just love you guys.
I'm just like joking around and like making fun of people with accents and stuff. Like, but like people are misconstruing that.
He got misconstrued.
Literally, shut the fuck up.
He got
up.
Misunderstood.
I'm sorry. Shut up.
Like,
it's
how do
so
you
dumb.
Get misunderstood? Like, what do you mean misconstrued?
I'm pretty sure
like,
I heard you clearly when you called Ice Spice a chubby Chinese woman and used the
Chinese accent, a Hawaiian accent. You said something about a coconut because you thought she was Hawaiian. You called her a spice girl. You called her an Eskimo. Like, I'm
come
just
on.
Saying, like, how does that get misconstrued? Like, there's no alternate meaning. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's there's no double meaning there. Like, you did what you did. Like,
yeah,
sit the fuck down. You got caught. Sorry.
I
he's
like,
just a bit of a joker.
Yeah, he's just a joke?
He's in a silly, goofy mood.
Yeah, he's in his comedian era. Like,
he's in a silly era.
So I want to
certified silly and goofy.
Yeah, I want to pull up the certified silly and goofy. I want to pull up the recent
saw that
article
on a pin
that he did.
I really want it.
That's an actual pin that you
can
buy.
Yeah, isn't that so funny?
Don't buy that.
I want it so bad. I found. Get this. I was going through my room and I found a pin. And
oh,
because
it's uninhabitable, right?
No, it's actually very habitable.
Gotcha.
It was a pin. Shut up. And it said drug test. What kind of drugs are we testing?
Where is it? Where's your pin?
It's broken. I don't have it on me.
Where's your pin, George Washington? Sorry, I never teased you about your interview look. Because you got a new job.
I did get a new job. I'm so
hyped. I think you should have worn that pin to the interview. Could you imagine? Yeah. Drugs. What kind of drugs are you testing? Silly, goofy.
No, if I ever have to do a drug test, though, I'm going to wear that pin
to the
drug
test.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be court ordered or voluntary?
Definitely court ordered. Yeah. Wait, how about this? If you found out tomorrow, like, holy shit, Lexi's just been arrested and you didn't know what it was for, what would you assume it was for?
Public intoxication. You know, like stumbling around, like falling into bushes or something. I don't know if I would see you being arrested for drugs. I feel like it would just be like public intoxication.
Mm. Yeah. I've gotten that one a lot. That or murder. So.
Oh. Well. Maddie Healy, keep one eye open. If somebody murders this man. No. Did you see the clip that's going viral of this man that I don't know if he's been convicted, but he allegedly murdered his wife and they were on Family Feud and he had made a joke about like the biggest mistake he ever made was saying I do, or like if he wants to murder her, or like he made some sort of like joke about this on Family Feud years ago and then he like just got arrested for murdering her.
Damn. That's brutal.
Yeah.
That sucks. That's actually so sad.
I mean, yeah. All right,
just
then.
Don't piss me off, Spencer.
Okay, I'm gonna try my hardest. I'm trying to find this article because I know he did an interview. Let me pull it up. I don't know who he did the interview with, but he said, quote, "It doesn't actually matter, the podcast controversy. Nobody is sitting there at night, slumped at their computer, and their boyfriend comes over and goes, what's wrong, darling? And they go, it's just this thing with Maddie Healy. That doesn't happen." That's what he said. Like, it's just no big deal, basically.
Okay, but... I mean...
Oh, and then he goes on to say, maybe it does, you know? If it does, you're either deluded or you are, sorry, a liar. You're either lying that you are hurt or you're a bit mental for being hurt. It's just people going, oh, there's bad things over there. Let me get as close to it as possible so you can see how good I am. And I kind of want them to do that because they're demonstrating something so base level, which, okay, One thing I get is that, like, with a controversy or with, like, woke culture or cancel culture, there's always commentators or other celebrities out there that want to address it or speak on it because they themselves want to be like, but see, I would never do this. Mm-hmm. So that is a little bit of a power move in Hollywood. But what are you talking about? Like, but the people who are offended are mentally ill? Like, we're nuts for being offended? I'm not personally offended. I'm offended on Ice Spice's behalf.
I'm offended on behalf of the fact that he made racist comments. Like, that's offensive. I feel like, I don't know. And but he also goes, I feel like he's, maybe I'm misinterpreting the quote here, but he's like said, oh, I'm seeing this bad thing over here, let me get as close to it as possible to, like, prove that I'm not like
doing.
That
yeah, that's, yeah, like what we're doing.
We are. But my point is, if you can recognize that it's going to be seen as bad, then why are you doing it?
Oh, okay, gotcha. It's just mind-boggling to me because it's you know, take the racist offensive comments out of it, you're still being a bully.
Yeah.
And like the bullying is like, I get joking. Like, I have a very sarcastic, snarky sense of humor. You and me banter back and forth. I have a lot of that banter with a lot of people, but like when you're just mean, you're mean.
Yeah, and there was like, no need
for
that. There
was no need to be mean. And
she can't defend herself. Comments. She's not there to say anything back. So like you saying something like that can only be construed as mean and derogatory.
Inevitably, like the internet's canceling him. He's been exposed as a racist bully and then he's doubling down on it. Like,
yeah, it's like, what? I don't,
it's just how dumb, and we're dumb. How dumb are you that like you think that's okay, or people that get offended by it are deluded, you know, like,
yeah,
delusional.
I also just think it's interesting because like with, especially with like, I feel like with the 1975's music and like
I've
with alternative music in general, it's supposed to be, I've listened to a little bit of it. I'm not like a super fan or anything, but I've definitely listened to an album or two. And like, it's supposed to be music that's very empathetic, that's like reaches out and touches the hearts of a lot of different people and is supposed to like bring you together when you're going through a hard time. And it's like, here's this like music that kind of like speaks to your soul and gets you through this hardship. But for you to say that and then turn around and like demonize different groups of people for what?
Unprovoked.
Like unprovoked.
What? Like, what did she do to you?
Literally.
Like a couple months ago, truly, when he did this interview, we didn't really know who Ice Spice was. Like, she's in the last 6 months, and that's being generous, like taken off.
Yeah.
And now she's like this big,
she's incredibly
female
huge now.
Rap, like she's a big, like, you know, but like a couple months ago I didn't know who she was, and she had some sort of song that came out that was big, and now she's doing collabs, and now she's you know, one of the new it girl rappers, whatever. But what did, for what, like why? And then did Ice Spice know about this before she did the collaboration with Taylor Swift? Was that awkward, or did she know about it but she didn't want to say anything because she wanted to get on the Taylor Swift song because it would be good promotion
publicity,
for her?
Yeah.
Publicity?
I don't know.
I just think it's like, it's nuts. And like you and me like are very different. Like I tease you and you tease me and like we cross the line or whatever, but like we're not mean.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
And I just think that with the bullying part of it, unprovoked for no reason, I guess if he came out and was like, well, she slashed my tires and we used to date and we hate each other's guts, so I was just being mean. It'd be like, well, it doesn't excuse what you did, but there's a backstory.
Yeah,
like,
this is just like
no
for
reason.
Literally no reason.
No.
The only thing I have to say to Matty Healy at this point, we thought I was feeling you. No, we're not feeling him.
No, not with those teeth.
Not with those teeth.
I mean, if you're going to bully somebody,
if he was
going to
be a munch,
be perfect.
Get those teeth gone. Wait till he has dentures.
He looks like a piranha. Like, how does Taylor, like, you know, kiss him or talk to him without, like, having to look away? I don't know.
Chomp, chomp.
But, of course, it's
on
Taylor Swift.
Career.
And she's always involved in these, like,
I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Problematic men. Yeah, you're just,
I'm
you
just
took,
rambling.
Did you take an extra pill of lithium like you were supposed to?
I can't believe I've been taking the wrong dose. That's so fucking funny.
Maybe
I looked at the container and I was like,
Maybe that's explained your behavior. Like, just, you know, maybe it's all going to change after today.
Probably. I'm probably going to be so sedated, but yeah. We'll find out.
Well, anyway, like, I mean, and you know, when it comes to woke culture and cancel culture, like, I don't buy into a lot of that. But in this case, I don't know how you defend yourself. And you don't defend yourself by doubling down. So, like,
you definitely
got
don't double down
you've
on that.
You've got no defense. Like, I can't even play devil's advocate for you, which you're mostly, you know, what is it, angel's advocate? I'm devil's advocate usually.
Yeah.
I can't defend you.
And that says a lot because Spencer defends Trisha Paytas. So
all the problematic YouTubers, Ethan Klein, like all of them. I can't get behind you. You know, you're in that realm with like James Charles, which are just like the cancelables.
Yeah. In, like, just the forever jail. Like, no.
Yeah. Goodbye. Middle finger.
Goodbye.
Moving on.
You thought I was feeling you.
I've actually never heard that song.
It's so good. It's a great song. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I just don't think I know any of her music.
No, you do. She's on TikTok a lot.
Okay.
Boy's a liar.
Okay.
Boy's a liar.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm done with it. But moving on.
Next story.
Next story. It is a doozy. And you're going to think you've heard it before because you have. We recently talked about Robert De Niro having a baby very old in life. And that's like the trend now. It's like all these old celebrity men are having kids with these young women. And they're just too old. Like, it's just, no, it's like all these old farts are having kids at like 70 years old. And I'm like,
retire.
For what?
Put it away.
Yeah. Like, just go live somewhere with all your money and like have a good time.
But it's smart for her. It's smart for her, though.
Yeah. Well,
now she's locked into the kingdom.
Well,
she's got the keys.
New guy joining the club. The Hollywood, what should we call it? The Hollywood support group for old dad men, fathers, celebrities is the support group. Is what we're calling it.
Old dad, men, father, celebrities.
Al Pacino.
Yeah, no, movie? He's what, like 82, 83?
Oh, 83 years old.
Yeah.
This crazy. Man is 83 years old and he's having his fourth child.
He'll be 100 years old when his, over 100 years old, when his child ages 18. Like, how do He'll you expect dead. To live that long?
I mean, like,
you're guaranteeing that your child is going to grow up for probably most, if not all of their childhood without a dad.
Yeah. Or like he could die next year. He could die tomorrow. He could die next Thursday. Like, you know, who knows? And his kid isn't even born yet. Or was it born?
No.
Is she pregnant?
I think she's pregnant. She's pregnant.
See, it's not even born yet. So in the next 9 months, who knows?
Yeah.
Like, that's freaking nuts. So I think her
name
is...
probably what they're hoping for. But
she wants that money. She wants to be in that will. Her name is Noor Alfala. I have no idea who she is. She's 29 years old. And I don't know what a 29-year-old... you know, beautiful woman sees in an 83-year-old fart. Like, really?
Are you calling Al Pacino
a fart? Yeah, he's an old fart. Great actor. Scarface. Everything. But at this point, he's an old fart.
Damn.
83.
Yeah, I don't know anything to do with that.
What do you have in common? Like, what do you talk about?
I don't know.
So this is his fourth child. This is her first child. They're expecting their baby together. Congratulations. In the spirit of trying to not bully anybody anymore on this show, you know, just
we only have well wishes. Yeah.
Good luck. You know, just like Robert De Niro, I guess we talked about, like, he's gonna have maid service and nannies and like he's not gonna have to do anything.
Yeah.
But you really, that's what you want this late in life? You wanna leave that? Like a baby? Like,
I don't want that, and I'm 21.
Yeah. God, Lexi.
I can't imagine wanting that at 83.
God, 83 years old. Al Pacino, good luck. Just
good luck.
I think it's bizarre. But, like, is that weird to you? Because, like, it's very weird to me.
I get it. It happens a lot, so, like, whatever. But also, like, I can't imagine that. Like, I don't want...
Well, and Alec Baldwin and Hilaria keep popping out kids.
You're terrible. You're so bad.
Hilaria from Spain. They keep popping out kids too. Like, and he's old. Like, and they actually just finished the Rust movie that woman, the cinematographer, died on. They finished the movie.
Better be the best damn movie ever
made. I know. God, watch it. It'll like flop. God. Hillary will have to go back to yoga or something. She'll have to be a yoga instructor. That's what she does. She posts all these like yoga videos and don't even get me into that rabbit hole. Congratulations to all the old men.
Do you not like yoga?
No, I had to take yoga in high school. I mean, like, don't get me in the rabbit hole of Hillary from Boston Thomas. That's a rabbit hole, baby. That's a rabbit hole. Now, you know what? If one person deserves to be bullied on this earth, it's her.
Damn.
If Maddie Healy was going to pick just a random, you know, attractive female, as he said, out of the sky to bully, it'd be Hillary from Boston for me.
Yeah.
Which celebrity could you give a pass to being bullied?
Like, it's okay to bully them?
Yeah. I can think of a few. Dr. Luke.
Yeah.
The whole Kesha thing.
Dr. Luke.
Dr. Luke.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
like Chris Jeffree Brown. Star. Chris Brown. Yeah, that's your...
Fuck
that's
that guy. That's, I hate him.
That's like, that's your trigger. Hillary from Boston is my trigger. Chris Brown is your trigger.
Oh, he is my trigger. Those I'm like, I get, triggers. I see red sometimes. I'm like, get him out of here. Please. Why are we still standing this man?
No.
After everything he's done. After what he did to our girl, Riri.
Rihanna? We're still not come over on. It. We're never like, getting
we're
over
never
it.
Getting over that.
No. No.
Absolutely not.
Well, good luck to Al Pacino and yeah. your 83-year-old self. Having a new baby.
Yeah. Good luck. Let's move on to our final story of the night.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Look at us. Of the night. Killing it. Of the night. Of the day.
Yeah. What time is it?
What time is it? Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. We're going to do a little review for y'all. A little movie review. You know how much... We know how much the internet loves our movie reviews.
Oh. Our hot takes. Our movie takes. Trailer reactions.
Controversial yet brave. That is our statement. That That's is what we do. For. That's what we live by. Yep. We're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy.
We are. Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Give me one word to describe the movie.
I have two words.
I'll take two.
Animal abuse.
Why are you laughing? PETA could be watching. That's unacceptable. Ridiculous.
Animal abuse is my review.
Animal abuse. My one word, and I hope this doesn't give away my reaction for you, is trash. So, just trash.
That's offensive to Rocket the Raccoon, who was almost thrown away.
Well, I guess now that we have our cards on the table here.
I'm guessing that you hated it, and you're guessing that I liked it.
I don't know, because we're always really, sometimes either opposite or, like, totally united.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, the comic book stands and the moviegoers and the Marvel fanatics, usually when we do trailer reactions and movie reviews, they're not well received.
No, well, because here's the thing, is, like,
we have a very anti-popular opinion.
Yeah, but also usually. I love Marvel, but I only really know the MCU. I haven't read a lot of the comics or anything like that. So like, while I'll look at the comments or Google things about the comics or reference the comics sometimes,
Reddit
based on
is
like,
great.
Yeah, Reddit's a great resource for that. I haven't like read
You're
every single
lore.
Piece of knowledge and lore that's ever been done. So there's a lot of things that I just don't know. So I'm only looking at it from the perspective of, okay, I'm a moviegoer. I've been watching the MCU movies since I was a child.
Yeah,
I love MCU. I love
Guardians
Marvel.
Of the Galaxy,
it's great.
Like
who doesn't love Guardians of the Galaxy?
No. I would say the first Guardians of the Galaxy is top three favorite movies of all time.
Absolutely.
Like great movie, great Marvel movie. Similar chemistry like the Avengers of like a group of, but these were anti-heroes that became heroes. Like great casting, great characters. Like the perfect formula for Marvel was Guardians of the Galaxy. And like they've all been super successful. And I think the first one was my favorite. The second one I didn't like as much as the first one, but it was still that same formula of like the anti-heroes, like this kind of group of misfits that are Guardians of the Galaxy, similar purpose of like the Avengers, but they're it's different because it's not so mainstream MCU. They're bringing a lot of characters and villains and places from the comic books or outside the MCU in. Really cool, like special effects, makeup, casting, writing, the humor.
The humor is phenomenal. And the soundtrack is just incredible every single
time.
Like,
truly, Guardians of the Galaxy, I would say, is some of the best Marvel. Like, I would almost watch a Guardians of the Galaxy movie over an Avengers movie.
I would too, honestly.
Yet brave. Is it? I don't know.
I would agree. Yeah.
You know, I like the characters more. They're more likable. I think the humor is insane, like the comedy that they do. Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana.
Oh my god, she's amazing.
Who's,
who's
Drax?
She's been in.
He was a wrestler.
Dave Bautista.
God, he was in Knives Out, Glass Onion, whatever. Great actor. Out of all like the wrestlers and the you know the boxers or whatever that have become actors, you know you have The Rock, you have
John Cena.
I think Dave is my favorite.
Yeah, he's so good.
He's
I
just
love
a good
him.
Actor.
He's great.
Who
do you identify the most with out of all the Guardians? If you're like, okay, if I was to be a Guardian, like, who am I?
Probably Rocket, only because he's so snarky. He's just like,
yeah,
shut the hell up.
And like, you were so abused as a child, so like, it really just makes
yeah, so abused. Lexi, are you making fun? Are you bullying victims of abuse? Are you in your Maddie Healy era?
Oh my god.
But we love Guardians of the Galaxy, so let's set that up. So no hate our way, because we're fans.
We are fans. I love Gamora. She will forever be
Gamora.
My favorite. And
Nebula.
God, I love
Great
Nebula.
Character.
Actually, I want to do, Mantis. My friend and I have, oh, Mantis, adorable. God. Love her. My friend and I have agreed that she wants to do a Nebula cosplay, and I want to do a Gamora cosplay.
You could totally do that.
So,
I'm
totally
really
excited about
you could
it.
Totally pull that off at a Comic-Con. We should go to a Comic-Con.
We should. It'd be fun.
But,
you can see
but,
me get all dressed up.
Yeah, we could do that. I'd be like, who is that? Who is that? Where are we? And who am I?
Yeah.
Let's just be like, well,
you can be a sim. You just put a little, wear a little headband with a little diamond thing over your head. Weebanoo!
But Guardians of the Galaxy 3. At first, I'm like, I just want them to keep making these movies because, like, we love the characters. The writing is great. After this third movie, though, I'm totally good never seeing another Guardians of the Galaxy movie again.
Wow.
I'm good.
Like,
I'm
good. Like, that's harsh.
They gave us closure. It was not a good movie. I'm sorry if really? I offend people by saying that. I
liked it.
I did not enjoy it.
Really? You didn't enjoy it at all?
Nope. I thought it was, first of all, like, unlike the other movies where they're the Guardians of the Galaxy, so they're being contracted by different people like the Sovereign to protect different things or protect different cities, or they're being the anti-heroes against the real villains. This movie was like, there was no big main point to it. Spoiler alert, Rocket got hurt in this battle that they had and they needed to fix him, so they go on this whole journey to fix him. But it's like the movie just started, like we just got into it. It felt very rushed.
It was like a day in the life.
Yeah,
which I kind of liked, actually. I thought it. Really? I liked that aspect of it. Okay. Yeah, because for me, it's like
the perfect description. They, day in the life.
It wasn't like a
big story. It was a day in the life.
There was
the
no like huge overarching villain that's threatening the universe and trying to hurt them. It was like, this is dealing with Rocket's past, his personal trauma, drama, whatever you want to call it, abuse,
origin,
neglect, origin story, right? And so the people that created Rocket are trying to come and get him because they want to kill him.
They want the technology.
They want the technology that's a part of him. Yeah.
I can watch people being blown up all day long. I can watch blood and guts.
But animal abuse is so hard. It was hard. There was definitely, they pushed the PG-13 rating for sure. Yeah. It was very difficult to watch some of the scenes just because it was
like animals
are
helpless.
Holy shit, it's so sad. It was just tragic. I was like ugly crying in the theater at some parts. I was like, why are they doing this to that otter right now?
Oh,
like, what's going on?
Like, dramatic. But it would have made more sense had, you know, I get the villain. I don't even remember the villain's name. What was the guy's name?
Purple guy. I don't know.
The purple guy. Like, see, that's, I don't even remember. I don't even remember.
The maker?
Irrelevant. The maker. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have made more sense had they tied this into like a day in the life and then it became a big universe saving story again, as it always is. Because it's like with the Avengers.
Well, they are saving the universe in a sense. This guy was trying to wipe out, not to spoil it, but like, we're going to talk about it.
We're going to spoil it.
He was trying to wipe out an entire planet.
Well, he wanted to create the perfect society of perfect species. So he, years and years and years, went on collecting different species and animals and testing them and pushing the boundaries of science and whatever to create the perfect species. And if that perfect species that he put on an alternate, or it was, what was it, counter-Earth planet that he would create, wouldn't live up to his perfect society, he would destroy it and move on.
Which is fucked up. And that is like, you're the Guardians of the Galaxy. You should be protecting these people.
But
they
were saving
the world from,
from
a horrible man.
Crazy, evil scientist. I think they should have delved more into, like, it almost seemed like that was a subplot. Like, of him trying to create and destroy those societies and create the perfect, you know, society and perfect culture of species or whatever. It almost, that was like a subplot to Rocket's origin story, which it tied into it. For me, this was definitely more a movie about Rocket, which is fine, but it almost shouldn't have been like the final Guardians movie. It should have been like a Star Wars, you know, like Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Mm. Like, it should have been like Rocket Raccoon, a Guardians of the Galaxy story, and do a spinoff. It's like they shoved that into the final movie, and then on the outskirts of that was the closure for the characters. We had Peter reuniting with his granddad. We had Gamora joining. Who did Gamora join?
The Ravagers.
Well, yeah, because she from, and I didn't even remember from Endgame, she had died and they brought an alternate version of her back with the Time Stone from another era. So her and Peter never
met.
It never
got
worked
together,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it though, only because I think it made sense. Like, after you, like, as a team, they go on this final adventure together to save one of their own. And then they realize that in the same way that Rocket has to deal with his past, they have to deal with theirs. And so it's giving them this opportunity. It's what propels them. They're inspired by Rocket's story and his experience. And they're going, you know what? I need to do the same thing. Mantis is doing it. Peter's doing it. Gamora's doing it. Drax is doing it. Like,
yeah.
God, the part when, Nebula goes, I see you, Drax. Like, you're meant to be a dad. Like, you're not meant to be a fighter. You're meant to be a dad. I literally cried.
Ugly cry, bro.
I was like, oh my God.
The character development was really good.
It
the
was
writing was
so
really good.
Good.
The special effects, the visual effects, the costumes, the sets, and everything was crazy.
Yeah.
It just felt cartoonish. It felt, I think, had I known this was a more day in the life, like, it would have made sense to me for it to be a raccoon spinoff.
I can see, I definitely can see what you're saying there of like, it definitely felt like a spinoff, not a final movie. I understand that. But I also think that it makes sense that they did this as the final movie just because it was the pinpoint that sent them off to go out.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I could see having been maybe potentially better is doing this as a, they could do like a, this as a spinoff movie first and then do like, okay, after they've all come together, one last time, and then you can do flashbacks of like their time apart, if that makes sense.
See, that would have been perfect. That would have been a perfect alternate. Like, this wasn't Guardians of the Galaxy 3. This was a Rocket Raccoon movie. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, but it just wasn't, like, especially with Peter and Gamora and everything that happened in Endgame, it wasn't the same. I did like how Nebula had a larger role.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That was cool. But the villain and the his plans, and it just felt meh. It was just meh. It was kind of messy, and like I said, it didn't feel that important. It was rushed. I did like how they all ended up, though, getting closure and finding a path forward. And like each, they truly did a good job giving each character like the opportunity to move on, and like you got to see where they were going to go and like how they were going to spread apart or whatever. And then the post credit scene of like the updated Guardians with Rocket and the guy from the Sovereign, Will Poulter played him. I don't know who it was. Mm-hmm. Like that they could definitely move forward with that as like a reboot of the Guardians with the new people, but I don't know, you know, who knows. Yeah. Who was your favorite and least favorite character, like best and worst performance in this movie?
Ooh, performance or character?
Both.
Because those are different.
Both.
I think for both, it's going to be Nebula for the top. She was phenomenal. I think her character development was absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. I love seeing her. Karen Gillan's great. Did you see that meme she posted?
No.
Not like meme, like kind of like memeing herself, where she was like, when you're filming, but you also scheduled couples therapy, and it's her in the Zoom in her full Nebula outfit, and then it's her boyfriend and this like a therapist. It was so funny.
Good stuff.
I thought that was great. Least favorite? I don't know that there was anyone specifically that I didn't like. I really did enjoy the movie. I had a really good time. Yeah. I thought the humor was there.
Yeah, it was
hilarious.
I thought
the comedy was there. The storytelling was there. Yeah. I thought that it was very character driven, which I really appreciated.
Yeah, very character driven.
I really liked it. I honestly didn't really have any complaints.
But can you tell me it was as good as the second one or even
I think it was better
the
than the second one?
One.
I like this one better than the second one.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All I'm saying is
it was sadder. It wasn't like
very disturbing.
I'm not gonna be like, wow, I'm in a really bad mood today. I need something to cheer me up. Let me put on Guardians of the Galaxy 3. No.
I will probably never watch that movie again.
Really?
I could go back and like watch the first one or their second one for a cool, great superhero movie. This was a very dark, disturbing, unsettling a lot because of the animal abuse, but like it just isn't a movie that I want to go. I found some of it was a little bit boring.
Mm.
Like, not that it was boring, that there wasn't action or great sets or great writing or you know, when they broke in, what was it, the orb or the org or something, when they were trying to get the file on Racket. Like all that was super cool, but it just felt like out of, like, we only really got two movies of them as a group.
As a full team, yeah.
As a full team.
Because in this team, Rocket was out for most of it.
It felt, and Gamora as well, like, it felt like this movie, like, they were spent and just kind of broken. And
well, it's not the Guardians of the Galaxy that we originally knew and fell in love with.
And we didn't get that much, like, movies or time with them, like they did with the Avengers. I would say, if I had to say, like, best performance, best character, I would give it to Drax or Mantis, just because, like, their comedy together.
Their comedy is so hilarious. They're so good together.
Worst character, I wouldn't say worst performance, because she's an incredible actress and I love her character. The worst character in the movie for me was Gamora.
I agree.
Just because...
She was just irritating, because it's like...
I get it.
You don't want to be here. We get it. But like, come help out a little bit.
I get it. And it all comes after Endgame and what happened in Endgame, but it just felt like this isn't the Gamora that we all love and that fell in love with Peter and like that we love to watch and is a part of the group. It was such a like...
She's a different person.
It's the same character, but a different character. And it just wasn't enjoyable to watch her like that. So it didn't add anything. Like, she really didn't add anything to this movie.
No.
And the villain I thought was kind of throwaway. And then we found out that he had created the Sovereign, which were, I think, the villains in the second movie.
Mm.
I don't know. It just, it wasn't my favorite. Out of 100, what would you give it?
give it like an 80, 85.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good.
I'm going to give 80%. It a 60, a solid 60 out of 100.
Okay. I'm giving it an 80. I'm giving it a B.
A B. I'm going to give it a D.
Damn.
It didn't feel like a Guardians movie. It felt like a kind of scary, disturbing, dark, maybe dark superhero movies aren't my thing.
Maybe not.
I also wanted to add before we sign off here, I was reading a lot of Reddit reviews of the movies, and like critics are definitely mixed. Like some people saying it was raw, it was vulnerable, it was a total, you know, different movie, it was great. Some people saying the plot was messy, it felt like I had felt it was unimportant, it felt more like a spinoff. A lot of people on Reddit were saying, I did see some people saying it was like better than the Doctor Strange movies. Mm. It's the best Marvel movie they've seen in a decade. And I'm like,
I don't know about that, but it was definitely really good.
Yeah.
I don't know about the best, perhaps, but it was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, then.
Well, I think that's everything cycling through the rumor mill this week.
That's it.
If you'd like to see more of us after that movie review, you can...
Or not.
Or not.
No, and again, we're not haters. We love Marvel.
We love Guardians.
We just
have honest opinions.
Yeah, honest opinion. Like they set us up with these amazing movies, and then it was such a... I can't think of the word, not a distinction, but like it was...
Separation.
It was such a separation from the other movies that it was like, this doesn't feel like a Guardians movie. I'm not feeling the same feelings as I'm watching it.
Yeah.
It's not as enjoyable as the other movies. I don't know.
That's fair.
That's my take. Don't come for me. Controversial, yet brave.
Yeah. Well, if you'd like to see more of us, you can find us on Instagram at The Rumor Mill Pod. You can find us... is it The Rumor Mill Pod?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can find us on Twitter at TRM Updates. You can find us on YouTube at The Rumor Mill. We post new episodes every single week.
Yeah, we drop new episodes every Friday.
Although, that is moving.
It is. Pretty quick here. We're going to become weekend people.
Yes.
We're going to start dropping our episodes on Saturdays just because, you know, maybe you need something to listen to or watch on the weekend. So, you're welcome. That's what I'm trying to say.
But anyways, we're going to cut you off now before
I could keep
talking for another 1,000 years. We'll see you next week.
We will see you next week.